Well, today I'd like to continue with a series called Kind of Different. Today we're going to talk about relationships, a kind of different kind of relational energy that we as believers bring to the table. You know, we live in a time when technology has made society more connected than ever. We can be connected with far more people ever in history. You can instantly connect with hundreds, if not thousands, of people. You can share with the world what you're having for lunch today. Hey, everybody, check out these nachos. You can do that. It's never been easier to find people with shared common interests, whether it's beekeeping, motorcycling, your favorite musical group. You can go online and find a beekeeping, motorcycling, musical group, Beatles, online community full of blogs, discussions, opinions, and arguments. And it can be fun. Hey, I'm a big believer in having hobbies. Have hobbies and have fun. At the same time, the Lord does call us to relationships that are not just shallow and are much more than superficial. He invites us to relationships that have substance and meaning and that are touched and empowered by the presence of the Holy Spirit. Relationships on purpose. You know, good relationships, they will enrich your life and allow you to be a blessing to someone else. They take time, they do take effort, but they are worth the effort. Now, let me put a couple of statements up here on the screen. First of all, relationships are important because our God is relational. We believe in the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. God Himself exists in beautiful friendship and harmony and community. Secondly, relationships can be messy because we are. You've never met a person who's not messy. We all bring a little mess to the table. And the temptation will be to say, if ever anything gets difficult, let's do what the world does when anything's inconvenient. What do? You just dispose of it. You throw it away. All right? I'm asking you to bring a different kind of relational energy to the game. Romans chapter 12 will set the stage for where we're going today, because I'm going to highlight some relationship principles from Romans chapters 12 through 15. And here's the way this section of scripture begins. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, notice this, in view of God's mercy, in view of everything Christ has done for you. You know, Stephen Lee led us so well today, and Stephen, his prayer, talking about the wonderful mercy of God to us. And in view of that, in view of all that God has done and is doing and will do for us, I want you to offer your bodies, what you say and do, as a living sacrifice. Strange wording, isn't it? An oxymoron, like jumbo shrimp, a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. And listen to this. And do not conform to the pattern of the world. Let me apply it to today. Don't do relationships the way the world commonly does relationships. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So having read that, let me ask you three questions. First of all, what are you bringing to the relationship table? What are you bringing? And so today I'm going to ask you to listen for you. Sometimes when we talk about relationships, it's easy to sort of say, you know, I wish so-and-so were here. Or to look at somebody sitting near you and think, are you paying attention to this? What are you bringing to the relationship table? And are you willing to partner with God? Because sometimes things are a little difficult and we need God's help to push through. And third question is, are you willing to do that? Are you willing to do difficult? Relationships will not last, they will not thrive, if they are built on preferences rather than promises, if they're built on convenience rather than commitment, if they're rooted in like you, just natural like, as opposed to Holy Spirit love. All right, let's walk through some coaching principles from the book of Romans. So he starts here, he says, I want you to be a living sacrifice, a view of God's mercies. And all the way through chapter 15, verse 7, he emphasizes our relationships with one another, with people in the world, with government. So I can't talk about it all, but I'm going to highlight just a few. Here's the first one. Make a difference for Jesus in the lives of others. Romans chapter 12, verse 6, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. What's his point? You've been blessed to do what? Be a blessing. And you have gifts and aptitudes and abilities and opportunities. And we'll not all make a difference in the same way. Some of you will serve as foster parents. Some of you are thinking about doing that. Some of you will adopt a child. We can disciple people. We can bring those younger and those younger in the faith to us. And yes, it'll take some time and energy, but we pour ourselves into others and we make a difference. And nothing, but absolute nothing, beats being used by God. Parenting is like that. I don't know if you've read much of Jim Collins' work, you know, Good to Great. He talks about a conversation he had about relationships one day with one of his mentors and coaches, a guy by the name of Bill. And he asked Bill, he said, Bill, what is it that makes a great relationship in your opinion? And Bill said, a great relationship is where if you ask each person independently who benefits more, they would say, well, I do. I benefit more from this relationship. And Jim said that he said to Bill, well, isn't that a little selfish? And Bill said, no, think about this for just a minute. Jim, let me just ask you, who do you think benefits more from our relationship and our friendship? And Jim Collins said, well, clearly I do. I benefit more. After all you've done for me, I'm the one who benefits more. And his friend Bill just laughed and said, isn't that great? Because I would answer the very opposite. I would say, no, I benefit more. I'm the ultimate beneficiary in this relationship. And he said, and the reason we feel that way is we're both putting something into it. We're both really investing in this relationship. And when you do that, when you make a difference, it's amazing how much it comes back to you in such a powerful way. I've lost count of the number of times I've said to someone around here, thank you so much for pouring yourself into, you know, pick a ministry. And they will say, I get so much more out of it than anyone. Secondly, form new relational habits that honor Jesus. Baptize our relational habits. From Romans chapter 12, verses 10 and verse 14, listen to how countercultural this sounds. Be devoted to one another in love. Not a hobby, a lifestyle. Honor one another even above yourselves. And listen to this one. Bless those who persecute you. Bless those who've complicated your world. Bless and do not curse. This is so wise. It's counterintuitive, but he's so concerned here about the ever-escalating cycle of one-upmanship where if we're not careful, if we just return hurt for hurt, we never want to get even. No, we want to do more than get even. We want to respond disproportionately, and rather than just getting even, inflict the wound times 10, times 12. This is so countercultural. It's counterintuitive, but it's the wisdom of God. sometimes, just for fun, you got to read some psychology articles or scientific articles about our brain and our response to anger. It's really interesting. You know, there's that part of our brain that's a what? That's a reactor. And there's a part of our brain that's a reflector. And we need both. We need to react, but we also need to reflect. You know, if you open your house door and there's a snake right there, you got to react. I said that this morning, and after the service, someone came up to me and said, "Were you aware what happened at our house this morning?" And they showed me a photo on their phone where they had opened their front door, and sure enough, there was a coral snake right there on their porch. Well, you need that part of your brain that reacts. But you also need that part of your brain that does what? Reflects and says, think about this, chill out, relax. And here's the thing, we just sort of train ourselves, right? And the more you just react, you train yourself to do that. And the more you do it, what? The more you do it. And the more you reflect, the more you reflect. Long before any psychology journal wrote about that, the Bible will say this: let every person be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Form new relational habits that honor Jesus. Thirdly, emphasize, listen, and care. Emphasize, empathize, listen, and care. Romans 12:15 says, rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Don't one-up people on something they rejoice about. Don't feel like you need to one-down people when they mourn. Oh, you think you've got it bad. Rather, you say, let me crawl into your brain space. Let me celebrate with you. Let me hurt with you. We empathize, we care, we listen, and we listen not to fix, not to win, but we just listen to learn and understand. And listening and caring and responding to people with appropriate emotional intelligence, it's a beautiful way of saying, you matter to me. I care. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're a part of my world. Number four, you are responsible for the stewardship of your relationships. You are responsible for the stewardship of your relationships. Romans chapter 12, verse 18, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Now, this is not a call to be naive. There's a caveat here. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Sometimes that's not possible. But I am 100% responsible, not for you, not for how you respond, but for the stewardship of how I respond in this relationship. Now, let me put three words here on the screen. Wise, foolish, and evil. There are wise people in this world, and that's fantastic. There are sometimes foolish people who are, they're generally good, but sometimes they need a consequence to get them back on target. But you would not be wise if you do not admit that there are evil people in this world who would seek to harm you. That's why there are times you need to call the police, or you call an attorney, or if there's an attack on the church, you alert the elders. This is not a call when it says, if it's possible with you, live at peace with all people. This is not a call to be naive. It's not an invitation to open yourself up to catastrophe. It is saying that would you be the one, would you be the mature one who will step into a reconciling spirit? Would you take a specific step towards peace? Number five. Mind the gap with generous patience. Mind the gap with generous patience. Have you ever been to London? If you've ever been to London, you've probably ridden the tube, the subway. And they will regularly be saying, mind the gap, mind the gap. Why? There's always a gap between the train and the platform. You got to mind the gap. In all of our relationships, there's always a gap between what I might think and what really happened, between maybe what I expected and what's reality. There's always a gap in our relationships, and you have to ask yourself, what am I going to put in the gap? Am I going to assume the worst and guess, or am I going to assume the best and try to give as generous an explanation as possible for what's happening in the gap? From Romans chapter 14, verse 13, it says this, therefore let us stop passing judgment. And here he uses the term judgment as, you're assuming the worst in one another. Let us stop passing judgment on one another. Gang, we do not live in a sitcom, an edited sitcom, where things get solved in 20 minutes without commercials. We live in real, unedited life. Sometimes you get bloopers and you get the rough first cuts. But to live in harmony with one another, give generous explanations for that gap that exists between an expectation and a reality. Suspicion comes naturally. Trust comes intentionally. Again, this is not a call to be naive, but just like you want people to give generous explanations to you and about you, do the same for them. Someone wrote this a few years ago. When there is a gap between what I expected and what I experienced, I will believe the best. When other people assume the worst about you, I will come to your defense. But if what I experience, what I continue to experience erodes my trust, I will come directly to you. And conversely, if you confront me about the gaps I've created, I will tell you the truth. All of us in relationships, we have an opening bid. Is that opening bid going to be one of assuming the best and trusting? Or is our opening bid going to be one of distrust? Shane Parrish says you got a trust battery that you give to somebody. Is that thing 5% charged, or is it 75% charged? And somebody says, well, you know, now if you're trusting, you'll be taken advantage of. Yes, you will from time to time. That's part of the cost of living. But would you rather go through life cynical and distrusting? Actually, when you take on the mindset of, I'm leaning into trust, I'm not saying you open yourself up to catastrophe, I'm not saying you're naive, but when you lean into trust, you know what you do? You raise the bar on people around you, and people want to be in your group, in your circle, because you're someone who plays that kind of game. A high road game. Last of all, take the touch of Jesus to you and pass it on. Romans chapter 15 and verse 7. Accept one another, then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. Accept one another just as Christ has accepted you. First of all, that's really good news that Christ has accepted us, made possible through His grace and His mercy. And just as that touch of mercy comes to us, take it and pass it along. This is the beautiful answer to relational discord. whether racial, social, economic, issue-driven, Jesus, who could be no higher, humbled himself to be no lower, and is willing to accept us in spite of our sins on the basis we come with faith, we come with repentance, and the dirtiest things of our lives are washed away. That spirit of acceptance, it gets to flow through us, and we get to be conduits of that mercy. We get to be missionaries and ambassadors of God's fabulous and indescribable grace. Well, everybody, we were made and crafted for relationships. You were made in the image of God, whose very nature is friendship. And God designs us for this. They won't just happen. We'll have to make time for them. We'll need to be intentional. We'll at times have to work through the hard and awkward parts of relationship, and you'll have to be gracious in those gaps. But our motivation is the cross. We accept as we've been accepted. And we have an end game, my friends. Our end game is the salvation of souls, because it's relationship. A relationship is the bridge over which the gospel travels. A relationship is the bridge over which truth travels. Our end game is the redemption of souls, and our end game is the joy and the encouragement of one another. And our relationships, they are the bridges over which encouragement and truth travels. They absolutely matter. And gang, here we are. On this side of the pandemic, there's light in that tunnel. In the last year or so, it's been difficult relationally. Now, a lot of people, they've really leaned in to their introversion. You know, 70% of us are more introverts than extroverts. But we need one another. And when you reflect on the pandemic, there are certain things have changed. And you just need to acknowledge that and grieve it. There are certain things, though, that have not changed. And we need to be aware of those and celebrate those rocks. And then there are some things on this side of the pandemic for which we have a renewed appreciation. Maybe perhaps we used to take certain things for granted, but now, not so much. I do want you to know that as we head into the towards the end of summer, school begins to kick off again, we plan to offer more and more opportunities to connect, to reconnect, to reengage. And so those opportunities will be there when you're ready to step in. My friends, just know that we love you, and we pray for you. And we pray especially today for your relationships, that your relationships will be rooted into the mercy of God and the touch of the Holy Spirit.